Welcome Builders from Lakeland, Florida. This is the Build Your Success Leadership Podcast with your host, Brian Brogen. We're going to empower and equip you to build yourself and then build others. Now, let's build up with your host, Brian Brogen.
Hello, builders. It is great to welcome you to the Build Your Success Podcast today. Here at the Build Your Success Podcast, we like to build you so you can build others. This is part two of our VFL retreat pre-interview with our presenters. If you haven't listened to the episode with Velma Knowles, I encourage you to go back and listen to that one. Today, we'll be hearing from Olivia Cream, and she's going to just tell us what she's going to speak about during the retreat and share some ideas that you can use, and hopefully you'll decide to join us at the retreat that's happening on the 12th and 13th, a week from when this episode airs. So hopefully you enjoy the episode. Listen up. Well, we're going to transition to Olivia, and as she alluded to, this will be her first year at our retreat, and we're going to welcome her, open arms. We're going to have fun. We selected her on her story about impactful storytelling, and we're excited to hear that message. She shares with Ryan that she's a veteran, or Ryan's not a veteran, he's still serving, but We both of them have the military background, and it's just exciting. You know, thank you both of you for your service, first of all. But Olivia, let's first of all, let these good folks know a little bit more about you, and then we'll dive into about you, what you're going to do during the retreat.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, let me just say I am absolutely humbled to be here. It was an honor to be selected, Brian, and I just feel like I am in such great company with everyone on the phone here. I can't wait to meet everyone that's going to attend the retreat in person. It is definitely an honor to be a part of this group. So thank you for the invitation. I'm humbled. So much like Velma, I am an immigrant to the United States. So I was born in the Caribbean as well. I was born in Jamaica. My parents migrated fairly early on. So they went from Jamaica to Boston, and I'm not sure they thought that through well, because that was quite the change there. But I found out pretty early on in life that I liked to tinker. And so, yeah, I was working on cars and building models and things like that since I was a very, very young girl. And so naturally that kind of translated into me wanting to be an engineer. And that engineering path took me to the Coast Guard Academy. I think they were like the number three school at the time. I won't tell you the years because I don't want to, you know, quite share that much information right now, but it was a long time ago, I'll just tell you that. So I went to the Coast Guard Academy, majored in mechanical engineering, and then went out into the field and had an absolute blast as a naval engineer in the Coast Guard, doing mostly counter drugs and migrants down in the Caribbean. It was so much fun. And then, of course, life happens, and I met my husband. Ryan's probably shaking his head at that, but you know, hey, life happens. So met my husband in the Coast Guard and had to do a little bit of a career pivot. And Brian, I tell you, for the first time in my life, I did not have a plan. So life came at me fast. I pivoted into the civilian world and started a career in human resources. Which is interesting because I will tell you, the folks that served with me, for them to find out that I'm in HR now, they all gasp and laugh and ask how I haven't been fired to date, but I'm a different human these days, transitioning from the military into the corporate space. And so in HR, I supported the commercial side of the organization. So think HR for sales for a number of years. And then at some point in time during that transition, I realized I had a passion for speaking and I had a passion for helping women navigate their corporate careers. Well, that passion turned into a full-blown brand that we call Embracing Only. And so I do have a podcast. I do have a co-host. Her name is Archita. We met at my first company there. And our mission really is to show women that you can not only survive, but you can actually thrive. And you don't have to be a statistic to some of these metrics that we see out there that McKinsey Women in the Workplace tells us that there are all these obstacles to you being successful. I label that as noise. Ladies, you can do anything that you want. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. And so that became our passion and kind of spreading that message. And so these days, I'm still a very passionate HR partner to a broader scope than just commercial these days. Doing podcasting, doing some keynote speaking, doing HR consulting. And much like Velma, I feel like Velma and I are running parallel paths here. I also took up cognitive behavioral coaching to help with some of those mindset changes that I see out there. And I just absolutely love what I do.
Thank you, Olivia. And thanks for all you're doing. And man, what a great story you have to tell. The military folks are probably familiar with what they used to call army brats or military brats. I'm an HR brat. My mom did HR for over 30 years. So I grew up hearing about all the, you know, she used to say she was HR when HR wasn't cool. So definitely long experiences there, and hearing some of the challenges that HR folks face when you're dealing with human beings. It's a challenge. So kudos for that. But let's talk about what you are going to deliver on. I think you're scheduled for the 13th, if I remember right. But what during the retreat. This impactful storytelling. You just told us an amazing story about your history and background. Why is storytelling so impactful?
You know, storytelling is one of these things that I will tell you, it's about connection, right? So Velma mentioned trust a lot in what she's going to talk about. And there's no better way to really develop that trust and develop that connection that will lead to those relationships than you being able to articulate your story. So I ask people, you know, when I start off talking about storytelling, I say, do you remember the first time that you read a really good story? For me, it was David Goggins' Never Finished, or Can't Hurt Me, Never Finished was the second book. But man, I connected to his story. I saw myself in him as he was facing all of these challenges, when his body started failing him and how he pushed past it, how he talked to himself in the mirror. It's almost like I was in the room with him. And I will tell you that these stories, they really transport us into a different world, but they also help us learn. And so stories are not just really for movies and books and entertainment. They're one of the most powerful forces on the planet to connect, persuade, to influence our mindsets, our beliefs, and our behaviors. And so if you want to encourage someone to do something, or if you want to change their mindset about how they do something, the data, the research tells us, even if you're sharing facts, that facts will be retained 20 times more if they are attached to a story than if you just regurgitate facts at people. So as we're thinking about how we're telling our stories in our corporate lives about why we want a job or why we should be promoted, or you're telling a story in your business life to your audience about why they should pick you or why you're an expert or why they should buy from you, you have to create a compelling story so that you can connect with your audience and inspire them to take action.
That is great. Stories connect. I mean, they really do. Because usually when someone's telling a story, you're placing yourself in that story, or you're relating that to your experience. So it really is a way to engage your audience and build that rapport with your audience on this subject. So, again, I am excited about what you're going to deliver for us during the retreat. Can you give us one example of where storytelling has been impactful for you in a life situation?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so many. I'm like, where do I narrow this down? So first things first, I think you may not be able to tell it with how I'm showing up today, but I am a massive introvert. Like talk about stereotypical engineer. I am an introvert, right? So when you think about how you're showing up in the world, whether you're selling a product or you're interviewing for a job, you're going to have to tell a story. And so maybe the first story I will tell is just in my career pivot, because I get this question a lot. You went from military engineer to HR leader, how the heck did that happen? Well, I told some pretty good stories. That's how that happened, right? So I started to create this story, and much like Velma, I had to get really comfortable in my skin. I had to get comfortable with what I wasn't so that I would leave that where it was, but get really comfortable about what I am, who I am, and what you're going to get with me on your team, on your screen as you're listening to our podcast. I had to get really clear about that. So I would say in my pivot, I had to pitch myself. Here is what you're going to get from me. Here is the value that I can bring to you, whether that's a product, service, or just me and my presence. Here's the value I'm going to bring to you, and here's why you should listen. And I've applied that so many times in our corp in my corporate life. And I had some pretty good success going from entry level to VP in about 8 years. And that is not a humble brag, you guys. I am not special. Anybody can do this, but that is the power of stories to really accelerate your growth when you get clear about who you are and where you're going, and you can tell that story. It really helps you fuel that progression.
Wow, love that. And I hear you as you say that the story we tell ourselves is so important. And you told yourself that story to begin with, and then convey the story out to others. And that has led to some amazing opportunities. Your bio speaks for itself of what you've been able to accomplish. So that's amazing. I'm going to open the floor, but and while you're thinking about your question, I'm going to tell a little story here. I heard trust, and it just reminds me. I had the opportunity to go to the Florida Transportation Builders Association again this year. Last year, I was a breakout speaker. This year, I just went as an attendee because I enjoyed it so much. And I got to meet Stephen M. R. Covey. I quote his book, The Speed of Trust, in most of my training because I know how powerful the speed of trust is. And as I got to Mr. Covey and got him sign my book, they had new books there. They were selling it. And I said, here's my old book. I'd rather you sign my dog-eared copy. And he's like, man, you've had this a while. But I got to tell him how I transitioned from construction to leadership. And I said, I realized that I enjoyed building people as much as I like building buildings. And I've told that story to, several people, and it always resonates. But here's what he said to me. He said, Brian, that's crazy because Dr. Stephen Covey, my dad, sat me down when I was about to go into college. I was trying to determine between engineering, architecture. And he asked me that very question, would you rather build people or build buildings? And he chose the build people path. And it was so to have that connection with him and use his work, it was awesome. So, hey, sharing your story, you get to find out other stories. So thanks for that. Now we can go into any questions you have for Olivia.
I have a question for Olivia.
Sam.
So you mentioned previously you were an introvert. So my question to you is, what message do you have for folks who are also introverts, or and they ha may have a fear, or they're afraid to get out of their comfort zone?
So here's what I would say, Gigi. Your comfort zone is where your dreams go to die. It's where they go to die. And so for all of us, I think getting comfortable in who you are and what you bring to the table and being able to tell your story will help you connect to people. Now, the way I, as an introvert, show up in the world, I can't just go about collecting friends because my anxiety, my introvertedness won't allow me to do that. And so if you know what you want, I would offer this as a preview. If you know who you are, if you know what you want and where you're going, you can then start to create a very clear plan about who you need in your network, what mentors, sponsors you need, what I would just say your village. You would need to understand who your village is that you need, and then you can go target those folks very strategically. So you're not just opening yourself up to the world and saying, you know what, world, here I am, take me or leave it. That might be a little bit difficult for introverts. But what you can do is be very targeted in who you're talking to, why your message is important to this group. And when you speak to your people, it becomes less intimidating because you start to get that validation, you start to get that positive feedback, you start to get that engagement that fuels you to then open up a little. little bit more. But first things first, you got to take that first step to push out of your comfort zone, because that is the only way that you're going to get successful on your journey, is by doing those things that challenge you.
Thank you.
Hey Olivia, it's Ryan. Sorry I can't be at the conference also. I'll miss you seeing you there. But thanks for your time in the Coast Guard. I'm in the Navy and I don't like the water that much either. So we got that in common. Luckily I fly airplanes, so I can get as far away from it as possible. That being said, yeah, I read your article in VFL Volume 2. You talk about doing hard things. And the generation that's entering the workforce is getting a little bit of a rap from the media that they're not willing to do hard things. I don't think that's true because some of them are my kids. but I'd like to get your perspective, just since you say do hard things and you've been in HR for a while. I want to get your perspective on that.
It's a great question, Ryan. Thank you for that. And I have to make fun of you a little bit, being in the Navy and not liking the water. I don't know how that's working out, but I hear you. So a couple things. I think what the data is telling us about the younger generation, it's not that they don't want to do hard things. They're strategically picking what hard things they want to do, right? And so I think the older generation, and older is probably not the best word, more the more tenured generation, let's say that, we're just like, you know what? We're gonna grind it out. We are gritty. We're not gonna quit. There's no quit in us. We go after every and anything. And I call us the hold my beer generations. And what happens is sometimes we go after things because someone, especially in my case, coming, showing up in the world with this wrapper, will tell me, well, you can't do that because you're a woman, or you can't do that because you're black, or you can't do that because you're an immigrant. And I will tell you, when I showed up to my very first unit, one of the guys that I will call a well-intended Yahoo said to me that men won't follow me because I was a woman. To which I responded, hold my beer, check this out, right? And what happens to us is we end up doing these things because somebody told us we couldn't do it. And then we pick our heads up and we're like, do we even want to do this thing? Just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you should do a thing. And what this younger generation has figured out is, I don't care what you guys tell me I should do. This is my path. I'll go do hard things over here. If it's misaligned to my path, no, thank you. We, the more gritty generation, are not used to hearing that. We're like, are you quitting? Are you shying away from a challenge? How dare you? But really, they're a little bit smarter than us because they are picking their challenges strategically in alignment to where they want to go. I think there's a lot we can learn.
I like it. Definitely true for my older kids who have entered their lives already. So thanks a lot, Olivia. I like your choice of words.
Great question. Thank you.
Olivia, that was great. When I am teaching about this generational divide, I use that example for myself. I said, when I was looking for a job, I was just looking for a job, and I would do whatever you told me to do for whatever you paid me to do it. And I say the same thing. These newer generations have more wisdom than we do. They want a purpose. They want a mission. They want to know why we're doing what we're doing. And what we're doing is every industry I go to, what they're doing is amazing, but they don't convey that message to the young people to get them to buy into it. So that's where awesome to get. Yeah. Storytelling about what we're doing and why we're doing it. So impactful, especially to these younger generations. Love that. Other questions for Olivia? Thelma's got one.
Sure. Hey, Olivia, I can't wait to hear you speak because stories are so impactful. And so I can't wait. And I love your story too. We're so in alignment. My question is around, what if someone doesn't feel like they're really a great communicator and that, they can tell a story? Is there any, like, maybe a framework or two or three tips that you would say to tell a really good story? I would encourage you to make sure you consider these two or three things, or how do you get someone to feel comfortable that they could tell a good story to keep people engaged?
That's such a great question, Velma. And I don't want to go too deep into it right now because we are 100% going to get into this during the workshop. So I don't want to go too deep. But what I can tell you is there's certainly a framework for success. And you can structure your story in a very specific way that resonates with your audience. But before we even get to your story, you need to know, who are you talking to and why? Right? Who are your people? And I think this piggybacks on something that you said. You need to understand your unique value. Who are you first? And then let's go think about, who are you talking to? What is their pain point? What value are you providing to them? And then let's craft your story in a very specific manner. Now, once you get that outline for how to craft your story, it's just practice, 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 practice. You know, you tell your story as many times to as many people who will listen to you. You know, I like to start with my husband because, boy, will he give me some feedback that I can use in a very constructive way. But then it just become practice. And next thing you know, you'll have muscle memory, like in the military, right? You do something so often, that repetitive exercise with your story, that sooner than you can, you know, even map out for yourself, you'll be able to tell it without even thinking about it. And that'll help you get over the hump of telling yourself the story that you're not a good communicator. We're all great communicators. We just need a little practice.
Wasn't Olivia amazing? I can't wait to hear her speak next week at our retreat, and I'm hoping that you will join us at the retreat on the 12th and 13th of April in beautiful St. Petersburg, Florida. I will leave the registration link in the notes. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. Remember to build yourself and then build others.
Want to learn how to build yourself and build your team? Visit www.buildcs.net and learn about Brian's programs, special offers, and more. Build yourself and then build others.